We'll return to Graham Tuckett now. Hello.
Hey, Jesse. How are you, mate?
Great, thank you. How's your week going?
I've been stuck at home with the mother of all head colds the last couple of days.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
This one in isolation again.
There is something going around that it is just impossible to shake. My kids keep getting new versions of it. It's just like, when will it all end?
It's a weird one, isn't it? I think maybe we all learned a really good lesson last year while we were busy as a nation dodging COVID.
Yeah.
We also learned how to not get the flu. Nobody seemed to get a winter cold last year as well because we were being really smart. We were all washing our hands and staying 2 metres away from each other and letting people out of the supermarket before we barged in. And now I think I'm getting a bit of a lesson in life. Those were quite good habits to remember.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it just shows us that we need to spend some time around each other all year, or else we get it twice as bad the following year.
Maybe, yeah, you could. It could be read either way, couldn't it? It's the perfect news story. You could do the. This is telling us one thing, or this is telling us another. All I know is I'm bundled up in my little place in the Republic of Arrow Valley at the moment, and I'm not fit for human consumption at all. So.
Hey, I've got a funny movie to check out if you haven't seen it yet. Have you watched Between Two Ferns, the movie?
Not the movie. I'm a big fan of the show.
Yeah. My comedian friend Ben Hurley put me onto it and I watched it this week. Zach Galifianakis. Usually that Between Two Ferns is 3 or 4 minutes long. It's a kind of an interview show where he basically just insults comedians. It's almost, it's awkward cringe comedy in that you watch these comedians, these mega stars, having the most horrible things said to them. But you'd be wondering how he actually turns it into an hour and a half long movie, but it works. And
I am wondering how he does that.
Yeah.
He was kind of the perfect star to do Between Two Ferns in that he was like, he's up there with all of them, but hasn't got this massive public profile.
Yeah.
Not even as big as, say, a Seth Rogen, who he often gets mistaken for. And he's dry, as you wouldn't believe.
Like, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, droll sense of humour.
Actually, the best...
Between Two Ferns is like, it's not quite a parody of a talk show. It's like this weird hybrid thing. I mean, Barack Obama was on it.
He was, yeah. And, it might be some relief to watch this movie and during the end credits they show you the bloopers, all the times where they fell apart, and it reassures you that the celebrities are in on the joke, which possibly makes it better watching. I'm not sure.
It's kind of good to know because a decent episode of that is like a blooper in itself.
It makes your toes curl, yeah. What have you been to see?
Well, I've had Sublime and Ridiculous this week. I went to see Snake Eyes, which is a G.I. Joe movie spin-off. Explaining the origin of one of their characters, which is a truly dreadful film, but kind of fun, but kind of funny at the same time. And I've also been watching The Justice of Bunny King, which is a new New Zealand feature film, which opens, it previews around the country this weekend and opens widely next Wednesday and Thursday. And it is, I mean, we all love to trumpet, you know, the local product, but this is a genuinely great film, and I think it's going to make some real waves.
Great. And that's
locally and internationally, I think.
Yeah. And that's just one of the, I think, six movies coming out this year featuring that incredible Wellington actor. What's her name?
Thomas McKenzie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know her mum, Miranda, and she's incredibly proud and is almost sort of slightly intimidated, I think, by the... the success that Thomason's had. I worked on a film set with Thomason when she was 6 or 7 years old with her brother Peter, who's gone on to become quite a public figure as well, and he would have been about 9 or 10. I was the key grip on a feature film called Existence, and I remember thinking then, God, those two kids are amazing.
Wow.
So contained and so self-possessed, so confident in what they were doing, and yet so brilliant to work with as well, just so sort of respectful of the crew and really knew what was happening and really knew how to play a role. And it's quite challenging stuff. This was like post-apocalypse set in the hills up above Macro in midwinter. You know, it wasn't the sort of environment you'd normally toss a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old into and expect them to thrive and not whinge once, but they were amazing.
Well, do you want to tell us about that movie first then, Justice of Bunny King?
Yeah, let's devote our minutes to that. Justice of Bunny King is a Auckland set drama. It stars Australian actress Essie Davis, who is famous for all sorts of stuff, but especially she's turned up in Game of Thrones. She's in the Australian detective series Miss Something or Other Investigates. Very, very, very well known in Australia. She's very much a household name. She's pretty well known here as well. She plays the titular Bunny King. She's a struggling single mother she is eking out her benefit by also working as a squeegee bandit and when they're an outlaw windscreen washer on one of the busy intersections up there in Auckland. And she's trying to retain custody of her young son and young daughter. She's living in a house that she shares with her... shares the house with relatives, one of whom is a brother-in-law. And she begins to suspect that the brother-in-law is has designs on her teenage niece, who's played by Thomasin McKenzie.
Uh-huh.
Without giving away anything that's not in the trailer, it becomes very much a road movie, and it becomes almost a kidnapping movie as Bunny decides to rescue her niece and takes her on the run, and at the same time tries to reunite herself with her daughter and her young son at the place where they've been moved to. It's a pretty heartrending film, and yet it's hellishly funny as well. It's got a lovely streak of sort of New Zealand homegrown anarchy and black humour to it, which I think will resonate with fans. It reminded me a lot of Smash Palace.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all of, 40 plus years old now,
yeah.
Must be. With Bruno Lawrence also playing a character who basically kidnaps his own young daughter.
Yeah, Greer Robson, right?
Goes bush. Yeah, they're very, very young Greer Robson, and goes bush with her. And I think there's a sense in which The Justice of Bunny King can sort of trace its fucker puff back to Smash Palace and that great sort of New Zealand tradition of the loner forced into a position where they're going to have to become an outlaw just to do what's right and get their own measure of justice. So, yeah, Justice of Bunny King, it's a first-time feature from director Gaisorne Thabat. I didn't know her name, and then I suddenly unexpectedly found out that we've been Facebook friends for a while. that just happens in New Zealand, eh? Gaisorne, she directed a fantastic short film called Brave Donkey with Auckland actor Cameron Rhodes, I think it was, about 8-9 years ago. And I've always remembered that as simply one of the most memorable and kind of, yet at the same time, unmentionable short films I've ever seen. If you can track down a copy of that online or maybe through the New Zealand On Air website, Brave Donkey is a hell of a watch about a man breaking back into what has been his marital home to try and retrieve some possessions and getting himself into all sorts of trouble. So I knew Gaisorne from that. She's gone on to what looks like a very, very distinguished director of TV commercials. She's directed episodes of The Gulf and other bits and pieces for North American and Australian television. But The Justice of Bunny King is her feature debut, and it's been written by Sophie Henderson, who also wrote Baby Done, which was making big splashes in New Zealand early this year and late last year. And she also wrote and starred in a feature film called Fantail back in about 2015, 16, around there sometime.
Clever people, eh?
No, Sophie Anderson's a hell of a writer. And she's working with some material based on a script by Greg King, who also was the writer of Gaisorne's short film, Brave Donkey. So you've got this absolute powerhouse creative troupe with a couple of amazing lead performances in Essie Davis and Thomasin McKenzie. So kind of everything about this film should work, and pretty much everything about the film does work. It's beautifully shot. It's it's uniquely well written. There's some real dark and bleak and very, very funny stuff happening in it. There's some genuinely laugh out loud moments, but nothing that's ever played for comedy. It just becomes it gets its humor from the fact that these are just people who've got wit about them and they're going to do witty things. I liked it immensely. This is Justice of Bunny King. Previews around the country this weekend, and then opens widely Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Okay,
just hire along and see it. It's a great Kiwi film.
Now, a new G.I. Joe movie called Snake Eyes. Who is this movie for?
Oh man, I that's a very tough question to answer. Actually, Jesse, I'd be struggling to think who you'd recommend this film to. I mean, normally you'd say, look, it's part of the G.I. Joe franchise. It's right in the wheelhouse of your standard 14-year-old boy. They'll love it. Except this one comes in at over 2 hours long, and it's kind of boring. Like, it takes itself very seriously and tries to set up all these dramatic roles and dramatic characters. And it's just like, this. I'm sorry, this ain't that genre. We just want to see people hitting each other with sticks and yelling a lot. and maybe explaining the plot to each other kind of in between fight sequences, but not stopping everything so they can sit down, literally have a Japanese tea ceremony and explain the plot to us. So Sekai's G.I. Joe Origins is part of the superhero franchise, which is the G.I. Joe franchise, which is three, maybe four feature films old now. This is basically an attempt to reboot a franchise we haven't heard much of for a couple of years.
No, it was kind of big. And when I was, you and me are similar vintage, I think. We used to, it was called Action Man in New Zealand because we didn't have a license for G.I. Joe here, but it was basically the same thing. And then we got the G.I. Joes and the bad guys were called Cobra. It was all pretty fun when you're, 8 years old.
Oh, for sure. I always thought the Action Man was like, that was the English one, and the G.I. Joe was the American one. So the American one always had the great TV series. But no, you could be right. Maybe that's just what they called Action Mans in the States. But I remember I remember the cartoon TV series as a kid, and I was kind of like astonished that this live-action movie sort of broke through in the box office a few years back. And I hied along to see it because somebody was paying me to. And actually had quite a good time. It was like, if I was still an eight-year-old boy, if I can access an eight-year-old Graham, then great, eight-year-old Graham loves it. But when it comes to Snake Eyes, this origin yarn spin-off of one of the more emblematic characters of the G.I. Joe squad, it's about Henry Golding, who was really, really good in Crazy Rich Asians, who's an ex-male model now turning his hand and becoming a bit of a movie star. He's pretty good, but he doesn't have anything really interesting to do that doesn't involve him wearing a mask. So that's kind of tough. He's basically wearing a crash helmet for all the interesting stuff in the film, I guess to conceal the identity of the stunt performer that's actually doing all of it. So that's all the fighting sequences. Whereas the drama sequences, where it's just poor old Henry Golding kind of emoting at the camera and missing his dad who's been murdered, who he's trying to avenge and falling in love with somebody, it's just all a bit bland and falls a bit flat. And there's far, far too much of that stuff. So I walked out of this going, firstly, they needed to put the editor back in there for another week or something. 30 minutes out of this film. You're not marketing your movie at eight-year-old boys and coming in at 121 minutes with a whole lot of conversation and exposition. Can't do it. That could have fixed it. I think just another couple of drafts of the screenplay so that people were actually doing something at the same time as they were talking, which I think is usually that's the key to getting a successful action movie across the screen, is have your conversation happening at the same time as you've got Mortal Kombat happening. And films like Mortal Kombat actually manage that pretty well, which is why they're a fun time, You can follow the plot, but you don't ever have to switch off and get bored.
Good on you, Graham. Thanks very much. Snake Eyes, the new G.I. Joe movie. He was also talking about Justice of Bunny King, which is a new New Zealand film, which is previewing over the country this weekend.